five stages. You ready, Mike? Not getting a response from Cindy there. Cindy, are you there? Hello? Can you hear me now? Okay. All right. Well, then we can let Brother Moore start. Brother Moore, you ready to start? Okay. Here's Brother E.C. Moore.
We're going to read out of Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start right in verse 18. What I want to do is it's a little bit difficult for me to describe for you or give you any particular name for the message that I want to preach, unless I might call it Jesus Christ, one eternally with God the Father. I want to just glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to spend the time boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen." Now, I want to talk to you. I guess I could say that I want to refer to five stages in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. These five stages have to do with, number one, with the glory that he had with the Father originally. And then, from the glory of the Father, he came into this world, would be the second stage. And then, from the manger unto the cross, and then from the cross to the throne, and from the throne of his glory to the throne of judgment. Those five things. Number one, I want you to think about him being in glory with the Father and what the Bible says about that. Turn to John chapter 17. "I do not feel that I'm sufficient for these things, and nevertheless, I believe that God laid it on my heart," as they say, "to do this. And so you just bear with me. I want to present this to you, and maybe I'll not be able to present it to you in a way that it would be like some Hollywood movie you might see or something. But the Scripture is the thing that's important, so let's see what he says in the Scripture. In John 17, verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Well, then, Jesus Christ was there before the glory was. Turn in your Bible with me to each passage in Genesis chapter 1, please. I know that many of you could quote the verses. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." It did not say, "In the beginning God began to create." It did not say, "In the beginning there was an explosion and the end result was that there was a heaven and an earth and on and on." No, "In the beginning, God." in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Turn, please, to Hebrews in view of Him doing the creating. He was with God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And notice in Hebrews chapter 1, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, by whom He hath appointed, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Turn, please, to Colossians, and look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. If there's anything that I want you to see this morning, it is that Jesus Christ is God. If you worship God, you worship Jesus Christ. You don't worship Jesus Christ, you don't worship God. If you leave Jesus Christ out of the picture, just forget it, folks. Jesus Christ is God. In Colossians chapter 1, notice in verse 13, the last three words is His dear Son, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hold that passage and turn to Acts. We're coming back to that passage. And turn to Acts chapter 20, please. In Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. Notice verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He, God, hath purchased with His God's own blood. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in Him, Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, then the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the blood of God the Father, even the forgiveness of sins, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know, folks, as I begin to read these things, the more I read them and the more I study them, the more I realize what is in the mind of the God of this world as He inspires men to write books today to deny or bring reproach upon the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. I see that in the Scripture. I know what it is about. You know, it's absolutely amazing how, you know, you hear lost men and they refer to, they ask God to damn this and God to damn that and on and on and on and down through the years. You know, they never name the name of Jesus until in recent years. I never heard anybody, I heard people calling on God to damn this and that and the other all my life until I went in the Navy. After I went in the Navy, I heard people from different parts of the country that was in the Navy with me, and it was Jesus this and Jesus that. That's the first time I'd ever heard that. And now, there's more about the man upstairs, you know, and all that kind of nonsense. And comedians making fun of the Lord Jesus Christ on television and Christian people applauding and carrying on. Nonsense. Nonsense. It's a reproach upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And people tolerate it. Turn in your Bible with me to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10... John 10, I notice verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's clear. Turn, please, to Genesis chapter 1 again, please. Genesis chapter 1. You know, there's no way you can get around it. The oneness of God nonsense that's carried on in religious systems today are by people who never read the book. And if they do read it, they don't read this book. They read one that they've translated themselves to fit their denominational system. There is a Trinity. That Trinity is holy, and it's made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. If you don't hear anything that I say otherwise, listen to me. When Jesus Christ hang upon that cross, that is one of the Trinity. Just like I've got a rope, we'll say here. This rope has three strands. It's got a red one, a white one, and a blue one. One rope made of three strands. An egg. It has a shell, it has a white, and it has a yellow. And they're separable, and yet they three are one. On and on and on it goes. There are three persons in the Trinity. And when Jesus Christ, one person, God, one person, one of the Trinity, hang on the cross, God the Father was in heaven. When Jesus Christ fell on his face out there and prayed, God, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done. He said, pray at another time, pray our Father which art in heaven, and on and on and on. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For God, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God created man. You know something? Man is the beginning of that creation of mankind. And when God Almighty made man, he made a man. When God made man wasn't a woman. When God made man, he didn't call man a she. When God made man, man was made in the image of God. I'm not saying anything here this morning to dishonor any woman in the building. That's not the idea. The idea is that either you get God to be some kind of a feminine weirdo, or that he becomes sexual, or that God is a she, and therefore we worship her, and she brought it all about, and on and on and on. That is absolute stupidity and nonsense. This world today is made up of idiots. That's what God said. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, and people get all tight and upset, you know, and say, well, he's the word idiot, calling people idiots. Well, God said they're fools. What do you call them? When they change the image and the glory of God into the image of four-footed beast and creeping thing, what do you call them? In Psalm 115, he laid it out so you couldn't miss it. Turn there, please. Psalm 115. There isn't any possibility you miss this. In Psalm 115, verse 1. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever it pleased Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. They're dummies. Well, I don't like that. Sorry about that. Folks, anybody that goes into a building and kneels in front of a statue and makes the sign of the cross and so forth in front of a statue has got a problem. You know that? They change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. Imagine somebody designing a God with his own hands and set that stupid thing up and bow down before it and worship before it. Say, well, we're not worshiping that. We're worshiping Almighty God. No, because God said, make no image unto thyself of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath, and any individual that is worshiping Almighty God, and the word worship carries the idea of laying prone before Him. Any individual that worships God will not disobey the commandment. No, something wrong, folks. This world is filled with numbskulls. The only people in the world today that got any sense are those that are saved, and you know why they've got any? You know that, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, we have the mind of Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Otherwise, we'd be just like all the rest. The only thing that distinguishes me and you between them is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Nothing else. Nothing else. You have nothing that you can strike your chest, stick out your little chicken breast, and crow and brag about what a hot shot you are. We're nothing. Just nothing. All right, turn your Bibles, please, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, then God has a form, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know what blows people's minds? How God Almighty can have a form and yet at the same time fill the universe. They said, well, I don't understand that. Therefore, I'm going to make this and that and the other. You know, somebody, that's a mystery. Yeah, that's exactly what the Scripture said it is. So you'll just believe anything, won't you? No, I will not believe that all this began by just some unknown, some force that never existed somewhere. I know I will not believe that. I'm not an evolutionist. I am a creationist. That is, I believe that God created all things by His Son. And that's what the Scripture says. I believe that with all my heart. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and on and on and on. Turn back in your Bible, please, to Isaiah. And look in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. In Isaiah 42, look at verse 5. Isaiah 42, verse 5 says, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, He that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people. And notice the He, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. Go to verse 21. That's not the verse I want. I want chapter 43. chapter 43, verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That is unmistakable. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Come to verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Chapter 44, look at verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Look in verse 8. The latter part of the verse. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Folks, they just keep on. Go to chapter 45. In chapter 45, the latter part of the verse. I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Verse 5, I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. Come to verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. The Maker, the His in the context, is Cyrus. In chapter 45, verse 1, a reference to Cyrus. God Almighty made him. But you know something? Even if Cyrus wasn't in the context, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he was made of a woman. His Maker. He was made of a woman. Verse 12, I made the earth and created man upon it. Verse 15, verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. It just goes on and on and on. Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ had the blood of God in him. God is one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the blood of God was in him, and God redeemed you by his blood at Calvary, folks. Don't dishonor him. Don't dishonor him by compromising with some devil out there that dishonors him with every breath. All right. He was in the glory of the Father before the foundation of the world, and then from the glory with the Father, he came into this world. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, you talk about humbling himself. I'm talking this is humbling himself, folks. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start again in verse 5. Let this mind, that is this attitude, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The attitude that is referred to there has nothing to do with being like God. And it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ trying to be like God. That's not the idea that's presented there. The idea that's presented there is the truth of esteeming other better than themselves, and anybody that's got enough brains to walk through the woods without bumping into the trees would be able to read this Bible and know that Paul is not referring to Alexander the coppersmith in the context. Look in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Anybody that thinks that he's saying, Alexander the coppersmith, who did me much evil, I esteem above me, has they got something wrong, folks. The world is stark raving mad. You know that? Let each esteem other better than himself. The point being that we become a servant unto men. In other words, we get out on our knees in front of them and bathe their feet, so to speak. We preach the gospel unto them, and we pray for them and with them, and we do everything we can to get them saved by the grace of God. We esteem others better than ourselves in that we lower ourselves, but the mind of Christ, we lower ourselves and try to make ourselves of no reputation in order that we might win people to the Christ. To Christ is the terminology that's used today. Back in the passage. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he was equal with God. He didn't believe that he was robbing God of anything, being equal with God. I and the Father are one. He said to Thomas, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ healed people, and after he healed people, you know what he did? He said, go and tell no one that I did this. He made himself of no reputation. Today, when people do anything, they say, go and tell everybody about this. I did this, and I did that, and I accomplished that, and I established this, and I did on and on and on. I. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. I was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ humbled himself, the next verse said. He left the glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world and came down to the earth that he had created with his own hands. Isn't that something? He came through the starry heavens up there, came through the place where the enemy was and is. I mean, folks, that's a riot. You know that? I bet you haven't got a hold of this. You know something? I say that here's the waters that be above the heavens and the glory of God the Father up there. And Jesus Christ had separated. He put the water up there to separate the devil, separate the enemy away from God the Father, away from that glory, and so forth. And so what did Jesus Christ do? Why, come on, Jesus Christ came down through the enemy territory out there, the domain of Satan himself, and came down to this world and became a man, mankind at that time being dominated by Satan. He came below Satan, down into this earth, down into this slum pit that we call a world today, and lived and died down there. And man has never gotten a hold of it. They never see the impact of it. They all think that God Almighty has separated himself out there somewhere and has given a bunch of rules and said, okay, now get on with it. Lift yourself up by your shoestrings and prove to me that you can do it, and I'll let you up here where I am. And that's just baloney. Jesus Christ left the glory up there and came down here and became a servant unto men and proved his servitude by the things that he did. And boy, I mean, that is something when he kneeled down in front of those fishermen there and people and washed their dirty feet. Jesus Christ became a servant. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. In Matthew chapter 1, look back there in Matthew 1. How did he get into this world? Well, he got into this world through the virgin birth. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he, that is Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord. The Lord did the talking by the prophet. Isaiah the prophet wrote down what the Lord said. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God was with us. God dwelt among men. He walked around in a tent of flesh. Now, there isn't any doubt about it, folks. Then Jesus Christ is God. So, well, Mary is the mother of God. No, Mary is the mother of Jesus, the flesh. God was in Christ. So, well, I can't figure that out. Don't try to. I know something there. I know the blood that runs through his veins is God's blood. I know that. Therefore, the blood that is in him is God's blood, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. I know that. God was in Christ, folks, reconciling the world unto himself. He came from the glory of the Father into this stinking rotten world in order to redeem mankind. And then the third thing, from the manger, he went to the cross. Everything from the manger is to Calvary. I mean, everything, folks, is a trip to Calvary. I'm just absolutely overwhelmed in the book of Luke. You read that book, and you find Jesus Christ is up there in Nazareth, and he's on his way down to Jerusalem. I mean, he's always going to Jerusalem. He's always headed to Jerusalem. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and he must go through Samaria, and on and on and on. The route is to Jerusalem. Why? He's going to die outside the walls of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for you. Jesus Christ accomplished that. He never told you, follow my footsteps, the footsteps of the big fishermen, and all the dumb things that they bring up, you know. Anything but believe in him, anything but trust him, anything but obey him, anything but obey the book. And so they manufacture some image and put it on screen, and everybody believes it because Richard Burton was in it, or whoever, I don't know. The big fisherman, my foot. Folks, we're talking about a Savior. We're talking about a man. We're talking about the man Christ Jesus. We're talking about the one that became flesh in order that he might die for other men and pay for their sins at Calvary. Jesus Christ was on a mission, folks. He was going to a cross. And I look at this thing and I see old Pilate there. And Pilate wanted to set him free. Pilate said he hadn't done anything wrong. I'm willing to just beat him. Let's just beat him. Let's do anything. But let's set him free. You know what's happening there? Somebody, somewhere, is putting something into this man's mind. You see, Jesus Christ must go to Calvary or all else is wasted. Are you listening to me? When Jesus Christ came down here, when Jesus Christ is born of a virgin, when Jesus Christ went to the city of Jerusalem and 12 years of age and debated with the doctors there, when Jesus Christ went down to John the Baptist and was identified with Israel in water baptism, when Jesus Christ did the things that he did, all of it is in vain if he doesn't die on Calvary. It's of no use. None that he did can get those people out from in the heart of the earth down there. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he went down into the heart of the earth. He said, I have the keys to hell and death. And he descended into hell and then came out from there and told some people, you don't need to worry about dying. You don't have to fear death. You can give up your life. You can be burned. You can be your head's cut off and on, be martyred and killed and slain, but nothing to worry about. Why? I've got the keys to hell and death. Don't worry about it. That cross had to be borne, folks, or you would burn in hell. There's no way around it. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Mystery. All right. The glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. He left that glory with the Father and came into the world through the virgin birth. And then from the manger unto the cross, he went to the cross and he died. And as he hung upon that cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know something? He ain't talking to himself. He's talking to the Father. The Father is somewhere. God the Father is somewhere. And God the Father is going to raise him from the dead. And so Jesus Christ died. Bless God. He died, folks. You understand? We're talking died. Like in dead. Not just went to sleep, died. And after 3 days and three nights, God raised him from the dead. All right. Then from the cross to the throne, turn to Philippians chapter 2 again. Philippians chapter 2, and notice in verse 8. Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. No other death would do. It had to be the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then God raised him from the dead, and after his resurrection from the dead, God Almighty called him, and he went up. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy 6, we'll start in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and look in Ephesians chapter 1. There's some things that he said he wants you to know, you in this room. Why, look in verse 16. Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's talking about us here in Pensacola. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, what was done with Jesus Christ is going to be done with you. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Why, folks, if you will never get the picture that he is the head of the body and you're a member of the body, therefore he's your head, and the head is above it all. Your head, your mind, your wisdom, your intelligence, your everything is above all others. He's above Satan. He's above the angels. He's above all. And all is below him. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know something? A local assembly is not his body. The local assembly, the saved in it, are part of his body. The church is his body. And the church is made up of all the saved in this dispensation. Not little groups here and there say, well, that's his body, that's his body, that's his body. Well, then there must be hundreds of bodies then. No, that won't work, folks. The one church is his body. All right, he's the head. So the Lord took him up, and he went up above all things, and above all power, all principality, power, dominion, might, the whole thing, and he's up there, and we're in him. And then the last thing, from the throne of glory to the throne of judgment, turn please to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, notice in verse... I apologize. I want you to go to chapter 4. 5. I'll get it right in a minute. Just bear with me. Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. Before John sees a scene in chapter 3 there and on, he sees this scene, God Almighty sitting upon the throne, and he's got a book in his hand, and this book has seals upon it. Now, verse 3, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. In other words, in searching, these seals that are going to open up the wrath of God upon mankind cannot be opened by other men. There isn't anybody in here or in Pensacola or anywhere else that has the authority and the power to open up and let go judgment upon other men. That is eternal. God has given temporary judgment to some people, and they've taken it and crooked it and twisted it and warped it and messed it up to their own glory. And God won't tolerate that. And so one day God's going to judge them. I just saw an article in the Pensacola News Journal the other day about the Bar Association getting together, and they're going to try to do something because of the lawyers and their crookedness and all the things that they're going through and doing this day and time and on. Baloney. Got to be kidding me. Like the AMA getting together and saying to the doctors and our fellows, we don't want to keep on making these millions a year. We want to just back off and become poor like everybody else. That's funny. Anybody you know of that you believe going to do that? No. So one day God said, well, I'll just step in and I'll do it myself. There's nobody else able to. Everybody else would do it to their own glory and their own power and their wealth. Now, in verse 4, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and on and on and on. Now look in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it, and on and on and on, so he begins to open them. He's got the power of judgment, folks. He said that God Almighty had appointed unto him that judgment, and he will judge. Turn, please, to Revelation. I look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place, found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He said that there's a day coming somewhere, somehow, sometime, when every knee is going to bend, every head is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you can bank on it, folks. I can see it in my mind's eye, that great throne, and humanity just spread out there in front of him. No place to hide, no place to go, no religious system left. All has been done away with. The heavens have been ripped apart. The earth has been moved out of its place, and there's no place to go. And there they just hang out there, and nothing to hold them. And God on his throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, is sitting there on that throne and looking them in the eye, and he's looking at them so closely that it's like they are right there in front of him. Are you listening to me? every person, everybody, some way, somehow, someday, is going to meet him face to face and look into his eyes. You see, people put it off and they evade it and they back off and they say, well, I don't like Brother Moore. And I don't like the expression he has on his face. And I don't think the tone of his voice is too good. And I don't like the way he talks. And I don't like this. And I don't like that. And that preacher over there offended me. And that one over there was preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified so hard and so cruel. And I think they ought to have love in their attitude. And listen to me. There is a day coming when every individual is going to face him face to face and give an account of why you didn't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, you can back on it. It don't make no difference who you like. It don't make any difference who you love. You can get mad at me, and you can get mad at the other preachers that preach the Word of God rightly divided, and you can get mad at this book, and you can change it and make another translation and throw this book in the garbage can, but you're going to face him someday. And so are your children, and so are your parents, and your grandparents, and your brothers, and your sisters, and your neighbors, and all the rest. You're going to face him. How in this world can anyone imagine that he went through all the things that he went through? All that we just went through here. And there be no judgment. People have a privilege today. They can receive him. To not receive him is to reject him. You can't just let it float by. To not receive him is to reject him. Make no mistake about it. So when my mom and my daddy were, don't worry about that. You won't have to stand before God and say, well, my mom and my daddy were. God knows what your mom and your daddy were. Say, well, they didn't agree with this doctrine. Don't matter. You yourself must look him in the eye and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all things. And there's no other God beside him. Bow before him. Humble yourself before him. Get off your high horse.
Summer sun beats
and trust him as your Lord and Savior while you can.